Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley.
The greatest of all time.
Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata.
You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
This is the greatest show.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Bickley and Murata.
The greatest ever.
You can't get excited about this. You might not be able to be excited.
Greatest of all time.
It's crazy.
Legendary.
So is this show.
Absolutely.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
That's right. Doesn't get any better than this, Viva.
And Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world. I love it. I love where this show is going.
Good.
I'm excited to be a part of it.
Good.
Once again, we begin with those two phenomenal words, happy and Friday, going into a weekend of what exactly? The XFL? Really?
Oh, man, my mic wasn't on. This is...
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to that.
Blow out your voice 3 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, especially when you got a sore throat.
I have been on the there's a lot of crud going around. People are sick. And you know, we've had people out of the office. I've been on the verge. You know when you feel like you're getting sick?
Mm-hmm.
And either it progresses or it goes away? I've been on that verge for like a week and a half. Something happened already. Can I get sick or not get sick?
Just
please,
like on the fence or off the fence. Yeah, that can be quite annoying.
I can't even be definitive in sickness.
Yeah. Well, you're doing fine. You sound good. Got that going for you.
Well, there's a lot of show left. You might have just jinxed me, man.
All right, could have done that. All right, you boys all good back there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
How
guess.
Are you doing?
Well, that was
good.
Convincing.
Something
you guys want to talk about?
How about the Ukrainian next to you? How's he doing?
It looks like he's doing all right. I think his mic is working too.
That's a joke that will have a payoff a little bit later on.
Yeah. Right now it's an Easter egg. You'll figure it out later.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, let's start the show, Eric.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Get him out, coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Yeah, we start the Splash today for Friday, February 7th, 2020, with the trade deadline in the NBA in the rearview mirror. No action by the Phoenix Suns. Obviously a big topic on yesterday's show. A lot of reaction from Suns fans. Most of the Suns fans that I heard from, Bick, not big fans of the inactivity, but James Jones, the general manager, also sat down with an exclusive interview with Gina Mizell from The Athletic and talked about not wanting to ruin the continuity, we went back and forth yesterday. We butted heads yesterday. I know how you feel. You know how I feel. I didn't quite get the gist of those comments. Continuity?
I don't think anybody will. There are still a lot of questions out here I have. Primarily question number one, if you believe some reports out there, the Phoenix Suns actually did engage with talks with the Golden State Warriors regarding D'Angelo Russell.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was the case, then what was the holdup? Did the Suns not want to pay the price? That's what confuses me. It's one thing to say, ew, we don't want that guy. But then to be in the game and not close the deal is something that's entirely different, mm-hmm. if you ask me. So, yeah, that's one of the things that I'm still kind of bothered by. And off in Minnesota, I'll tell you what, for whatever you want to say about D'Angelo Russell, and there's mixed reports coming out of Golden State as to just how much the Warriors actually dug his act and his game. I'll tell you this much. Basketball fans in Minneapolis feel really excited this morning, for better or worse.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
That's undeniable. That might change as soon as they take the court. Because the reality of it is, Bick, they have D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns and really not much else to compete.
Yeah, listen.
So if they're expecting wins at this point, that's not going to happen.
Neither one of them play a lot of defense.
Nope.
And but you have to ask yourself, now that these two have made it together, is it going to be a proving ground for both of them? Now they've got accountability. Now they can't, you know, yearn anymore. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. The Suns with their roster intact, full of continuity, will take on the Houston Rockets tonight. The small ball Rockets, we saw them roll out their new addition last night in Los Angeles against the Lakers. And they beat the Lakers pretty handily with PJ Tucker at 6'5" playing center.
Well, it's kind of interesting to me because the cast of TNT were poking great fun at the Houston Rockets for this. And then they went out and ran by the Lakers, which I thought is interesting. Now tonight you've got DeAndre Ayton being guarded by PJ Tucker. And what is the common storyline here? He better be able to handle this matchup.
We know PJ Tucker is a dogged defender, even when he's going up against bigger players. But for that kind of a workload defensively, if the Suns don't try to go to DeAndre Ayton early and often, then we're going to have a big story to talk about on Monday, too.
Yep.
So there is that 7 o'clock tip-off tonight between the Suns and the Rockets. In baseball, the deposed manager of the Houston Astros, A.J. Hinch, given an interview to MLB Network, some interesting language. When asked if the Houston Astros' 2017 World Series title is tainted, the first words out of A.J. Hinch's mouth were, "It's a fair question."
Wow.
Isn't that just tantamount when you consider everything to saying, "Oh yeah, we cheated our butts off."
Look, I don't know what to say about this. I don't know whether to admire A.J. Hinch for this or to kind of go, "Dude, you could have stopped this." You know, for all this, hey, it's those darn players. You're the manager. Come on. So part of me really appreciates him at least being honest to that point and not minimizing it the way everybody else is trying to minimize it. Yet part of me also goes, dude, you could have stopped this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? The thing that I don't think we spend enough time talking about, there is some ambiguity there. Because I'm sure there were times when they didn't feel good about implementing the noisy bang the garbage can. I'm sure there were times when they couldn't sequence the signs. I'm sure there were times when batters were like, no, I'm good. I'm in a good zone right now. I don't want to be distracted. I'm sure it wasn't all just full-on cheating all the time. But at the same time, the numbers show what the numbers show. What, Eric? It looks like you want to say something.
I really
something.
Do. I got to get this off my chest.
All right, go ahead.
I got these new shoes, and I love... No, I think with A.J. Hinch, I honestly think he broke some of those monitors just so we can go back and say, oh, he hated it. He broke these monitors. I think it was just for show. If he really, really wanted to do something and stop it, he's the freaking manager of the team. He could do something.
It's funny you should say that, because I was the one, and I had a source who knows tell me that A.J. Hinch did do that and was forced to pay for it, okay? Then I started thinking about this. Who would force him to pay for that? There's only two people, the GM or the owner, okay? And then I thought, but these guys, I don't know how involved they were. It dawned on me that maybe A.J. Hinch paid for them voluntarily, but has the gesture now in his back pocket. Good call, Eric.
I thought of a
go back to sleep now.
When Eric brought that up, I thought of a story from my own life. There's kind of a parallel. Once upon a time, I had a friend, without going into too much detail, who started making some bad decisions. Started shoplifting a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
And I remember having a talk with him saying, dude, you got to stop. This is bad. You can't continue to do this. But if you're going to continue to do it, can you pick up something for the girl I'm seeing for Valentine's Day?
Wow. Wow.
I was A.J. Hinch.
Wow.
And all these years, I feel terrible about it. He never got the gift, by the way.
What a lousy friend.
I am. I'm terrible.
Yeah, no doubt.
That sounds like the worst Lifetime movie ever.
I wouldn't watch it. Coyotes, 2-0 lead turns into a 5-3 defeat last night to the Carolina Hurricanes out at Gila River Arena. Goligoski and Dvorak scored. And then, in about a six-minute span, you get four straight goals from Carolina, and the Coyotes' struggles continue. This is a hard hockey team to figure out right now, Bick.
No, it really
is. We should be seeing, I think, more fruits of the Taylor Hall trade, but they just cannot turn anything into wins at this point.
Listen, Phil the Thrill, we should have more from him. I'm at the point now where all of the aspirations I had for this hockey team about finishing with a 1, 2, 3, it just make the playoffs now. I've kind of lowered my expectations. It's kind of really the stretch of play has kind of emphasized to me how much better Darcy Kemper is than Antti Raanta.
Yeah, I think that's the takeaway.
Solidified that to me.
Yeah, and for all the excitement that we had about the Coyotes maybe making a deep run in the playoffs, it all hinges on having Kemper available.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
No, it is.
Coyotes hit the road now. A little matinee action tomorrow in Boston against the Bruins. A 1 p.m. Phoenix time face-off tomorrow to kick off that road trip. And college basketball. I never thought I'd say these words. ASU got hot from three-point range last night, Bick.
They did.
They scored 84 points, and they smoked UCLA 84-66. Got a contribution from
Kamani
Lawrence.
That's two good wins in their last three games.
Big game for Alonzo Verge. Remy Martin did some good things. Romello White cleaned up on the glass. That was a good win for ASU.
Yep. And meanwhile, Arizona's catching a little fire, too.
They are. They won last night. They beat USC down in Tucson 85-80. They will swap opponents tomorrow. The Sun Devils will host USC at 8 p.m. tomorrow, while Arizona will host UCLA down at the McHale Center also at 8 p.m. There you go. There's your splash for Friday, February 7th, 2020. It's brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com. Yeah, we start today with more reaction, more fallout from something that didn't happen. And that was movement, trades, activity.
Yeah.
For the Phoenix Suns at the trade deadline, they chose to stand pat. They're going the rest of the 30 games with the roster that they've had. And I doubt there's even much in terms of movement. And I know Gambo addressed this on Twitter yesterday because, you know, in the trade process, you get some players that fall through the cracks and don't fit on their rosters. They're bought out. They're available. And, you know, the Suns still have a need of point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're pushing for the playoffs or not, they could use a backup point guard right now. But
they might need a starting point guard.
They might need a starting point guard. You're exactly right.
And I don't say that as a joke.
It doesn't look like there's going to be much in terms of bringing help in from the outside at this point either.
And so hence here we go. I think the way this basketball team had been trending on the court has been really, really bad. I see a lot of red flags the way that they're competing or not on defense. I see a lot of stat accumulation beginning to happen. I don't see the ball move. The whole thing that kind of represented how this team got off to a real fast start, it seems to be descending into darkness once again. So to me now, this really becomes a question of, with no reinforcements coming at the trade deadline at all, even to help a really injury-decimated team right now, how do you prevent that? Can you prevent that? What will it mean if you can't prevent that? There's a lot of danger in the same old, I'm going to tell you right now, and especially when you juxtapose them with James Jones's comments on why he didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. He wants and likes the continuity. And again, continuity of what? The way the team is playing right now doesn't seem to match those comments at all. So if this team continues to break apart and lose badly and maybe finish with 30 wins or less, then the season's going to end in a far different fashion than where it began. And there's going to be some cost to that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a believer in what James Jones said about the continuity, about keeping this group together, and he pointed to, when we have this team fully available and healthy, we play a certain way. I like the way we play. But, man, that's such a small sample size.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to give much credence to talk of continuity when you're talking about a handful of games where the core of your team, let alone everybody being available.
Yeah.
I think that's happened once or twice. After Ayton's suspension, because Frank Kaminsky basically got hurt right after Ayton came back, and he's been out.
Mm-hmm.
But they've had like one or two games out of the 50-plus games that they've played so far where they've had a full roster. So to lean on that as your basis for optimism, I think, you know, I could say it. I think it's a little misguided because you don't have anything to base it on. It's a very, very small sample. And I know that's a convenient comeback for the critics that said, and I'm not broken up over the fact that the Suns didn't make anything, make any trades at the deadline. And, you know, I had some conversations on social media with people and asked, what would you like them to do? And I know that the big one out there is the D'Angelo Russell thing, and maybe they kicked the tires, maybe they didn't. I don't know about the fit, but to lean on continuity with a team that's played together for two games, basically, I think is misguided.
Yeah, it's clearly misguided, and that's kind of, to me, it affects the public trust in the job that's getting done here. Then you look at the other side of this, that the Phoenix Suns may not have had assets good enough to generate interest from other teams, and this is where I also get hung up. James Jones has shown no aptitude to consider expiring contracts as assets, none whatsoever. He did it with Tyson Chandler. Now he's done it in this recent case here with Tyler Johnson, and he got no value in return for T.J. Warren. All these little moves create a cachet of assets. It creates a pile of assets. And when you need to make trades, they come in handy. They might be placeholders. They might be napkins. They might be nothing more. It could be the smallest of things, but you need them to piece together and package deals. And and the Suns can't do it because there's just not there's no regard for what an asset really is in the NBA, in my opinion.
Monty Williams, the head coach of the Suns, joined Doug and Wolf this morning for his weekly visit. Talked about the inactivity at the deadline.
Yeah, no, I didn't push for anything. That's not my job. Like, James and I, we have the kind of relationship that allows us to talk about everything. But at the end of the day, we both trust each other. And there were tons of discussions the last few weeks about all kinds of stuff that was brought to the table. But I trust James's ability to build our team the right way. And, you know, all of those decisions are pretty tough decisions.
Yeah, Monty Williams also went on to say with the guys this morning that there was some interest in some members of the Suns roster.
I didn't push for anything. He'd bring something to me or an idea, and it was usually about a team that was interested in our players, which is really cool. We have a number of guys that have value around the league, and a lot of the time you just gain information about what other teams think of your players.
Why this is so interesting in Phoenix, that a team that didn't do anything at the deadline, a team that has 20 wins at this point, why is it so interesting? Because two teams that are below the Suns in the standings got together and made the biggest deal out of all. I mean, the deal that went down yesterday between Golden State and Minnesota will have no bearing on the playoff picture this year.
No.
And it's very rare that you can say that the biggest trade made at the deadline fits those parameters. But this is a future move for Minnesota. And it brings into question now when you consider D'Angelo Russell is going from Golden State to Minnesota to play with one of his best friends in Karl Anthony Towns. And Devin Booker is the third part of that, and everybody immediately starts to wonder about Devin Booker's happiness. Is he going to have that FOMO moment? Wow, my best friends are playing together in Minnesota. We've always wanted to play together. There might be some element to that. Here's Monty Williams talking about worrying or not worrying about Devin Booker's happiness at this point.
I worry about my ability to, you know, push this team in the right direction and do that every day. As it relates to Devin, it never comes up for me. And I talk to Devin all the time. I never get the hint that he's unhappy with Phoenix, the Suns, living here or anything like that. In today's economy, it's like the chic thing to do to bring up, you know, those kinds of issues, whether it's Anthony Davis or, you know, Chris Paul or any one of these guys who may not be happy with their situation. I've never gotten that from Devin. And I think he and I have built a relationship where he knows he can come to me or go to James or Mr. Sarver about any issue that he may have.
The way I break this down, because I look at the situation in Minnesota now with Russell and Towns together, and this might be very basic in my breakdown of it, but it to me just indicates that Minnesota, for a player with the same length of tenure in the league, Karl Anthony Towns has been in the league the same amount of time as Devin Booker. They are so much further down the road, not in terms of progress necessarily. I don't know how this is going to work out. I have my doubts that it'll work out. but they're so much further down the road in terms of determining whether or not he's going to be there long term. This was a move. Yes, they feel that they can improve the team, but it was also a move that was made to keep Karl Anthony Towns happy. He's been very disgruntled, very outspoken about being disgruntled, from body language to actual words coming out of his mouth. This might be Minnesota's last ditch with Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, listen, to me, I think there's something to be said for that. To me, one of the big regrets is this, and not a lot of people have kind of like extrapolated this far, but this is one of my big regrets here, because you know that as far as D'Angelo Russell goes, I think he's better than you and Kellen think he is, but I'm not saying he's all that. So I want to be clear on that. I'm not in love with him as a player, but I am in love with the idea. I do like Karl Anthony Towns a great deal. And the way Karl Anthony Towns had been whining in Minnesota, had the Phoenix Suns been able to snag D'Angelo Russell, well, now you got those two guys here. And now you got Karl Anthony Towns already a malcontent there.
Uh-huh.
And so it would be finding a way to make that happen between the two organizations if you could have pulled that off. Now, that's my regret, because the three could have happened here. I don't know if it will happen elsewhere, but if Karl Anthony Towns would have been the odd man out the way that he was already chirping, Phoenix would have had a serious leg up on having that super team happen right here and now. As for Devin Booker's state of mind,
it's not guaranteed to be a super team.
No,
it's guaranteed to have three good friends on a team together.
And nothing is a guarantee.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, it's a guarantee you're going nowhere when you do nothing. I'll guarantee you that. By doing nothing, you're going nowhere, at least with this group. This group as it is right now, they're not winning anything.
Well, let me ask you this, because this came up in a conversation I had with a friend yesterday, too. Right now, would you rather have the duo of Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton moving forward, or the duo of Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell moving forward? Well, I think the Suns are in a better spot, quite honestly. And I know people say, oh, you're a homer, you work for the team. I truly feel that.
Okay. I don't know if I can. I think
Karl Anthony Towns is a better player than DeAndre Ayton right now.
I don't think
he's
even close.
And I don't even think, if you consider the guards, Devin Booker is far superior to D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah,
and I think that gap actually makes the Suns pairing that much more palatable.
I'll think about what I think about that.
Okay.
But to me, that's just kind of like pairing talent. You've got to look, to me, it's the synergy and the chemistry of it all.
Yeah.
If you did pair these three guys together, you're giving them all what they want, and that now it's on them to make it happen, to prove that they can win. So that empowers them. So I would hope that only good things would come from that. As far as Devin Booker goes, it is true that he has said nothing to date.
Yes.
But Devin Booker's really close friend on Twitter yesterday, my little bro at Devin Book, grind hard day in and day out and never complain. He makes the best of his situations, but this bleep is getting ridiculous. Through it all, he stayed professional. He's a stand-up guy, FRFR, for real, for real. He tweeted that. This is Devin Booker's good friend yesterday, and it was retweeted by Devin Booker's brother. Devin Booker is smart enough to stay out of this kind of stuff. Okay, but I'm just saying that by the time, if and when Devin Booker ever does get disgruntled to the point of talking about it, by then it might be too late.
Yeah, well.
So if we're all going to wait till Devin Booker starts yapping to deal with this problem, then he's already gone. That's my point.
In response to that, though, I would say I would feel frustrated myself, and feel frustration for Devin Booker. If there was a move out there that was right in front of the Suns' face that guaranteed them to be a much better team yesterday, I just don't know if that deal was out there.
I know that D'Angelo Russell doesn't play a lick of defense. I've read everything about what Golden State thinks about him, and I've read stuff about how you can't judge him by the quality of his teammates in Golden State. The truth is somewhere in between there. His numbers are still really, really good. But to me, I wonder if Phoenix even has a point guard for the future with Ricky Rubio. And I get with the money they've allocated to Ricky Rubio, the last thing they want to do now is have to go and spend on another point guard in D'Angelo Russell. But Devin Booker loves the kid.
Uh-huh.
Here, I mean, you've seen the quotes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the investment to me would have worked on a lot of different levels. And I'm not the hugest D'Angelo Russell fan. But I do like Karl Anthony Towns a great deal, and I love Devin Booker. And I think the Suns just whiffed on a chance to get all three of those guys together at some point in the future.
Join Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and his wife Brenda for Celebrity Game Night on Saturday, February 22nd. This year's event will honor D-backs World Series hero Luis Gonzalez. Tickets are on sale now, and all proceeds benefit Treasure House. Visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com now for more information and a chance to win a pair of tickets. Coming up, more fallout from the NBA trade deadline around the league. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Friday, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Gerson Rosas, since he took over as the president in Minnesota, he had targeted D'Angelo Russell. He chased him in summer free agency and stayed on him throughout this year. He has wanted to pair him with Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns wanted to have D'Angelo Russell as his point guard, and now he has him.
That's Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, talking about the long pursuit, which has come to fruition now for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They get their guy in D'Angelo Russell. They appease their star player, the guy that they're building around in Karl Anthony Towns, who just weeks ago was called completely untouchable by ownership in Minnesota. Where does that leave Devin Booker and his happiness level? That remains to be seen. There's different thoughts all over the board on this. And Amin Alhassan, who we had on the show earlier this week, he shared his thoughts on ESPN, and he thinks Golden State done messed up.
You can say whatever the Warriors felt about D'Angelo Russell, about the fit wasn't there, about maybe he wasn't all they expected. All that's valid. But you knew at least one thing. You had at least two suitors who were interested, Minnesota and New York. You knew that interest was there. Meanwhile, you didn't really have that much interest in Wiggins, and there's no interest for Wiggins anywhere because of that contract and obviously his inability to live up to it. So in this case, even if you tell me, get him around Clay and Steph and he'll be changed, you're still inheriting the risk. So in order to inherit that risk, I need to be compensated for the risk I'm inheriting. Because Minnesota, you're getting your guy. Right. You're getting the guy you wanted since last summer. I'm getting some dude.
I don't think, since we've been so hyper-focused on the D'Angelo Russell part of all of this, going back to last summer, too, Bick, I don't think we've focused enough, and I don't think a lot of people have focused enough on the Andrew Wiggins piece going back to Golden State. They truly believe what they're saying publicly, and you wouldn't expect them to say anything else, that his style can fit very well with Golden State, more so than D'Angelo Russell's, which I do believe, but I'm not going to sit here and with a straight face try to suggest that Andrew Wiggins is not an enigma.
Oh, yeah. No, of course he is.
He's very talented. But people say, oh, he's a poor man's Kevin Durant. Yeah, a really poor man's Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Listen, and once again, I do kind of wonder what they're doing there. The piece they took back, that's the ultimate flyer. And it must be about fit. I'll be curious to see really kind of where Golden State goes from this, but I honestly believe Golden State's in a much different place. They've got Klay Thompson. They've got Steph Curry returning. They're still one of the ultimate destination cities in the NBA. This may be nothing more than whatever, when Giannis comes here, whatever. So to me, I just don't see it as, I don't understand what Golden State's doing. I wouldn't have taken a shot on that contract. The Andrew Wiggins contract's ridiculous.
It is.
But they're going to be okay.
I know you saw this. It was also by Marcus Thompson on The Athletic about the Warriors waving the white flag this soon into the D'Angelo Russell experience. It reads, the Warriors, as much as anything with this move, gave up on Russell. 7 months after they contorted the entire franchise into a pretzel to get him, 5 months after he showed up to camp, the Warriors abandoned the Russell project. They were so eager to get rid of him that they are embracing a player considered to be on one of the worst contracts in the league.
Yeah.
In Wiggins. Take that as an indictment on Russell if you want. It doesn't seem like he did much to instill confidence. He didn't play defense, and he disappeared when off the ball. He didn't instill confidence in the leaders of the franchise that he would figure it out, but it should also be seen as a failure by the Warriors. They championed him. They said they wanted him as part of their core. And before they even got to see him with their core, they walked away, which means, at minimum, they completely miscalculated Russell's fit. It's early, and you never know how these things turn out. But the Russell experiment must have gone so poorly that the Warriors looked like they might have been the ones to blink first in a negotiation with Minnesota.
Yeah, listen, I've looked into this, and a lot of that is accurate. I was told that guy, Marcus Thompson, was saying the exact opposite 2 weeks earlier. The bottom line is this. D'Angelo Russell had good numbers in Golden State. He was playing on a really, really bad team, and I think both were to blame here. D'Angelo Russell's never been a good defensive player. His metrics, he's dreadful in terms of where he ranks among point guards in the NBA.
True.
They're just dreadful. So, there are flaws in his game. There's a lot of immaturity to his game, and I acknowledge all of that. And that's why this is going to be an interesting thing in Minnesota, because he's going to have to reprove himself all over again. Like he did that first year or the second year in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's fun times.
It's also the way I look at it from the outside is there's a lot of Suns fans that are feeling, I guess for lack of a better term, a little jealous about the movement, about the fact that the splashiest move was made by the Timberwolves, and they were the team to bring two of these three great friends that have publicly stated they wanted to play together. There's a bit of jealousy going on, but that gets wiped away from me quickly, and I'm only speaking for myself when I consider that Minnesota, and I'm not absolving the Suns for being an organization that has everything together. Minnesota is a dysfunctional, terrible organization historically.
Yeah, they have been.
For all the people locally that bellyache about Robert Sarver, you have just as many Minnesota fans bellyaching about Glenn Taylor and him being the constant in the Timberwolves run. So I'm very curious to see how that experiment works out.
Yeah, listen, but and I think every fan base, you said this yesterday, that the mindset and the vibe of the fan base really should be part of these decisions, even though you think that they shouldn't be. In Minnesota, what do you've got if you're a basketball fan in Minnesota? You've got the memories of Kevin Love, an all-star who couldn't wait to get out of town. You've got Jimmy Butler, an all-star who couldn't wait to get out of town. You've got Kevin Garnett, who holds such a grudge that he will not even return to the Target Center to have his number retired.
Uh-huh.
That's the state of Timberwolves basketball. And now you're about to lose Karl-Anthony Towns, and instead you pull off this move, you trade a guy that nobody wanted for a guy that you were pursuing all summer, and now he arrives on a plane, and Karl-Anthony Towns is there to hand him a uniform, and now they've got all this tons of excitement. Now they're going to have to validate it. But that isn't that. I mean, yeah, I am jealous of
There's a little currency in that. I admit that.
And I'll admit that that's, to me, as a Suns fan, as somebody who is deeply vested into Arizona sports teams and is deeply wanting and desirous of another good team and a moment and a parade and the things that other sports towns have. Yeah, I'm real jealous about it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I wanted. But then again, it's like, you know, I heard you guys talk, and I saw you on Twitter, and I heard Gambo talk about, well, what'd you want to do? Who could you got? To me, there's a list this long of players that were traded, okay? That long. And surely somebody on that list of players available could have helped this injury-riddled basketball team that was in playoff contention up till 2 weeks ago. And still isn't that far out.
And that's one of the bigger problems I have in this whole process, or lack of activity, is the Suns should have been better served to do something 2 weeks ago if they were serious about maintaining their spot as a playoff contender.
Exactly.
Because now it's gone, in my opinion.
And that's the whole thing. They were hanging around the playoff periphery and getting injured, and James Jones did nothing while they were on the playoff periphery. And that bothers me. And I don't know why it doesn't bother more people, but whatever. It's to each his own.
Yeah, coming up
continuity,
next.
Continuity, Dan. Continuity.
I know. Don't want to disrupt with the. Want to mess with the good thing, Jared.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that coming up. But first, another national voice has shared his thoughts on David Johnson's future. Yeah, you pretty much know how that's going to go. We'll share it with you next. Bickley and Murata, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All right, now look, Father.
Do you know how disciplined you have to have six-pack abs? Do you know how much I don't want to live like that? I can't live like that.
Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
like the way you started the show today, Bick.
What?
The two magic words.
Happy Friday?
We made it to Friday.
Yeah.
Here we are at the Ak Chin Community Studios. Taking you up until 2 o'clock today. Running back Stockwatch, NFL.com, by a former NFL running back himself, Maurice Jones-Drew. Stock up, not surprisingly, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones. Stock down, the three he chose, Todd Gurley, Sony Michel, David Johnson, Arizona Cardinals.
Amazing, right?
not at all a surprise.
The two premier running backs in the NFL, along with Lev Bell, for one point in time. It's amazing how the league, in terms of their status and what they mean to their teams, has changed dramatically.
The window for successful running backs is, I mean, can you think of a smaller window for success in anything in sports?
Yeah, right. No, I know.
You're on top of the league as a running back. Enjoy your time because next week it's going to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
The write-up, Johnson has gone through multiple injury-riddled seasons since his 2016 breakout, and now he's apparently been phased out of Cliff Kingsbury's offense after the team traded for Kenyon Drake in October. Drake balled out after leaving Miami and took the starting job from Johnson, who had just 17 totes for 45 yards over the final 2 months of the season. Johnson's current deal goes through 2021, and per over the cap, it would cost the Cardinals more against the cap, $16.2 million in dead money, to cut him than it would to keep him, $14.25 million. That said, whether they do release Johnson, as some have speculated, or trade him, it wouldn't be shocking if he's playing elsewhere soon. The one thing I do know is he's almost certainly won't be the team's RB1 come fall.
All right. So you've got to think about that and think about what that just says. If it costs more money to release him than to keep him, couldn't you get enough value out of just giving him a roster spot and making him a backup running back?
I look at it the other way. Uh-huh. If you are tied into, regardless of how you handle David Johnson, you're $14.25 million against the cap. If the difference to get rid of him is only $2 million, yeah, it's it's a ton of money. I get it. But when you're in for that much, $2 million isn't that much more.
All right. Okay.
And I don't know. You have to consider the personality of the player. We can all agree on this. For as disappointing as David Johnson was last year, and for how small his role has gotten, I wouldn't chalk him up as a malcontent or a guy who's going to be a disruption to the team if he is on.
No, not at all. But does that stay that way? You know what I mean? That's the problem. And again, I don't know if David Johnson's got it in him to go up to guys and start complaining. Can you believe that? I don't see him kind of cut from that cloth. So, but at the same time, I just don't know if he can be.
There were Instagram posts though by his wife complaining.
Yeah, that is true.
Not him.
I mean, the strongest thing he said on social media was "whelp."
Whelp. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I just find it really sad that I get that David Johnson can't even. That David Johnson's having a hard time or had a hard time last year with the idea of a run-pass option and having the ball taken out from him at the last minute and kind of throwing him for a loop and all that. But I don't understand how a professional athlete who's been at it as long as David Johnson can't adjust, especially with an offseason. Now, that is assuming he still wants to play football. And if he, because he acts like he does, the whelp tweet, that's not a guy who is like trying silently to check out of the game. So I don't know where the disconnect is here, Vinny, because I would think to me a guy like David Johnson should be able to figure this out given a full offseason if he really wanted to. But
you would think.
But again, if Cliff Kingsbury has zero trust in him, and that seemed to be the case after that fumble in Tampa, I don't know what's going to change that. Maybe what changes that is Kenyon Drake's price tag. Because when is that going to get done?
That's a great question. And I honestly don't know. I've had people ask me, what do you think that number is going to look like? I don't know. I sound like Mr. Hand from Fast Times.
I do know this.
I don't know this.
Steve Keim, near the end of the season, on a couple of occasions, said that it might not have to wait to the offseason to sign him.
That is true.
And so on some level, they had hopes, if not expectations, of maybe getting it done before the offseason even began, and they didn't, which tells you that the difference in numbers might be problematic, or Kenyon Drake's ask might be problematic.
Or without the presence of David Johnson, that might have been done. I mean, that's the complicating factor in all of this,
is that
$14.25 million that you're basically tied into. If he wasn't here, I think that deal would have been done for a reasonable number. I don't think you're talking about David Johnson money. But then again, it just goes to show you, and I truly believe this, it's not personal against any player.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to get enamored with what a running back does for you, but you shouldn't do it. Kenyon Drake was outstanding in his role. Picked it up quickly, was dynamic, was explosive,
was
productive, did everything you wanted him to do.
He did.
They could find it elsewhere for cheaper.
Yeah. Well, listen, I really honestly believe that you can do that. And I think they've already got a leg up on that because of Chase Edmonds.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really high up on that kid. The game against the Giants, granted, the Giants were not exactly...
Well, how do you read that situation, though? We talked so much about David Johnson's lack of usage down the stretch, but Chase Edmonds didn't get a chance either
after
he was healthy, and that made zero sense to me. I couldn't quite figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you... I showed this video to you. I didn't know if you had seen it before. Patrick Mahomes. It's good to be Patrick Mahomes right now. There was a video somebody shot of him and his girlfriend walking in through one of the tunnels at the Sprint Center in Kansas City at a Post Malone show.
Yep.
And it's very quiet. He walks in, not a big deal, but he's strutting. He's, you know, he's got a beer in his hand. He's having a good time.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
the crowd sees
oh,
him,
great.
You would have thought, the Beatles were performing. And he just, I can't believe he's got the world by the tail right now. Can you imagine that feeling?
No, I don't know if he's been sober in days, and that's okay, right? You know what? They've had a long grind.
You got to fight for your right to party.
You do.
He's 2 weeks still shy of Alex Ovechkin's record, though, of consecutive
days. Yeah, nobody's going to touch Alex's record. But you're right. Walking into that Post Malone concert, when the buzz started to go around that crowd that, oh my goodness, there's Pat Mahomes, that's power.
Post Malone has nothing on Post Mahomes.
Oh, look at that. That's good. That's really good.
No,
that's
true to the reports that Gambo was there. But he will be at the Post Malone Phoenix show, from what I've heard.
Look, I love the guy.
Look, I was going to get a tattoo on my face to support him.
All right, coming up next. He's in town, stand-up live, downtown Phoenix. You know him as the Roastmaster General. Jeff Ross will join us in studio. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.